Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in. This episode is brought to you by our friends at MGIC. As the nation's founding private mortgage insurer, MGIC has been affording security and confidence to lenders and homeowners for nearly 70 years. Their leadership in the mortgage and housing industries is built on a foundation of trust, deep industry knowledge, and financial strength. Through the decades, MGIC has helped millions of borrowers achieve homeownership while empowering loan officers and lenders to thrive in challenging markets. With flexible MI strategies, amazing service, and competitive rates, MGIC offers unmatched solutions that deliver real value. MGIC is dedicated to staying ahead of the curve with products and services that make a difference to lenders and borrowers alike, whether it's through their risk management tools, comprehensive training offerings, or educational resources. See what MGIC has to offer at mgic.com.
All right, we are back with another episode of Lending Forward, and I am joined today with David Licken, who I am so excited to have on. Hey, David.
Hi, good to be with you, Evan.
Good to be with you, too. And I was going to rattle off an entire intro for you, and I decided not to because it's very long, the ones I found. So I would rather you tell us a little bit about yourself.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me on. I have the rare privilege. The best thing I identify with is I get to be Emily Gardner's coach, executive coach and business coach and advisor. So I have that privilege. But I've been in the industry for 51 years. I've owned three mortgage banking companies. I owned a software company that went public. Thought about retiring after we sold our last mortgage company. And that was 25 years ago. And I just could not retire. The only thing I struggle with is retirement. I can't find a gene in retirement because it required me to slow down, and I got too much energy to slow down. So,
and this industry's too fun. I mean, I know it's frustrating and heartbreaking at times, but it is so fun that once you're in it, that's why no one ever leaves.
Yeah. Well, part of it is just you get to meet people like you and Emily and your team, and I mean, the whole executive team, everyone there at Atlantic Bay is just such a special group of people. And so, yeah, you and Emily are just delightful.
Well, thanks, David. That's really why I brought you on, just to build us up a little bit.
Well, it's true. I get to work with lenders all over the nation. I can honestly say that about Atlantic Bay and Emily and you. I thoroughly enjoy it. Well,
I appreciate it. And I appreciate you coming on because I do think you have just a wealth of knowledge around the space, and so much is changing around, you know, just the borrower experience and the role of AI and how do we balance it all. So thank you for coming on. I do want to kind of just dive right in a little bit and kind of pick your brain on, you know, what's one major shift in borrower behavior that has caught your attention in the past couple of years?
Well, I think it's exemplified when you look at the acquisition by a Rocket of, you know, Redfin. Everyone realizes the race to the consumer is probably the biggest shift that we've seen, because consumers are shifting from going to the realtor and starting the experience there, and are starting by going online. So the first major shift is that. But beyond that, the consumer is still looking for a relationship with a realtor and very much wants a relationship with a loan officer that will support them and give them the degree of reassurance that this being their biggest transaction of their lives, for most people at least, that this is a good move and that they're doing it wisely. So we need good, I mean, consumers are still looking, and that part hasn't changed. And I don't know that that will ever change, Anna, because of the nature of this transaction being the biggest and the needing for reassurance. You can use AI, we can use all these wonderful tools. Those are great enablers to the process. But in my opinion, while AI is going further and further into augmenting and helping with the establishment of the relationship, they'll never replace the human relationship.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think I was going to ask you around, you know, customer or borrower expectations. And I know there's a race to the consumer. Everybody wants to, you know, get to them first. Everybody wants to be online. Everybody wants to be a rocket, or at least compete with a rocket. But I think you're right. The expectations of a buyer are still very much that handholding, that trustworthy person. But I mean, I want to hear your thoughts around it. You know, have buyer expectations changed?
Well, I mean, buyer's expectations, because the answer is yes, quickly and emphatically yes, because borrowers are wanting information. How we give them the information is what's changed. How we provide that, the amount of information we can provide a buyer, a consumer looking to buy a home, is gone up exponentially. So it's gone from the old, boy, this is a great neighborhood, we like it, to here's the schools, here's the thing. I mean, data. I mean, we're just getting swimming in data, and borrowers have an expectation, and this is what's changed, of more. Tell me more about this house. What are the bones of this house? When was it actually built? What was the remodeling? What's the remodeling cost? When you put this in, did you have engineering certifications? I'm selling my home right now. And so I've been putting together a binder of all the new appliances, why we bought them, and all the engineering certifications, because we did quite a bit structurally to the home. So those are things that the buyer is definitely wanting. But it's easier today because of the amount of data that's out there and the tools we have to gather and swoop up that data and present it in an even more professional way.
So how are you seeing people do that well? I mean, with all of the data and providing that information to a buyer without overwhelming them, how are people doing that well?
Well, this is the part that hasn't changed. It's always been those that can know and relate to the buyer, the consumer, most effectively. And one of the things, Hippocrates was the father of medicine, and he created this thing called the four humors, which is the four personality types. It's what the DISC profile is driven on. It is a sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, or melancholic personality type. When we take the time, no matter if you use the DISC or Myers-Briggs or any of the tools, the more you can anticipate or get to know what the personality is of the buyer and deliver the information to them in the preferred way. Like, for example, you and I are both sanguine, probably, at least I certainly am, and we're outgoing. And what do we love? Stories. Mm-hmm. I'm the buyer and you're the loan officer or the realtor. You're going to want to make sure that you deliver it to, oh, Hannah, you're going to love this house. Here's why. This house, and you tell a story around this house. This house has been the home of a family. Now I'm thinking about my story. For the last 17 years, they raised kids. Their daughters went to this school. They competed, and they had swimming pool parties. This is you build an emotional story, and you connect. Now, you happen to be a choleric personality, a direct, which you tell me your husband is a coach. So mm-hmm. He might have more of a direct story. You're going to want a guy like that, if that's your husband, is going to want facts, figures, give it to me in bullets. Don't tell me a story. Get to the point, because I want to buy or not buy, and I want to have the facts. So I think the thing that's so important that people miss is understanding and learning how to relate to the buyer in a way that is meaningful. That is where technology, while it can enable this, it's not ever going to replace the human, because it's the human that intuitively responds to the buyer's needs.
I love that. And I know we talk about, you know, we go off of the DISC report all the time. We all know our DISC. We all operate through our DISC. But I think that's where you can leverage AI and you can leverage that data to get the information on the buyer. This is going to sound ridiculous, but I've actually never thought about doing that from a buyer's perspective. I've always thought about it like from a recruiting perspective, right? Like how to talk to a recruit, but talking to a buyer the same exact way makes so much sense.
Yeah. The last mortgage company we had, we were a consumer direct company in Southern California, and we used some technology that based on the waste, and what we did, we were direct mail companies. We just send out millions of dollars of mail every month. and mm-hmm. the phones would come in. And we had the ability to predict on how the consumer answered the phone. It had a 97% accuracy on predicting their personality type. And then we routed their call to someone in our call center of like personality. We had a 30-plus percent increase in closures or going to the next stage when we matched the personality of the caller to the person that we're speaking to. When you get, that's an example of technology. It's been around for a long time. Here's the other thing, Hannah. All of us know it. We've been trained in it forever. I could go on and on. It's, I'm a real passionate about helping people understand that. That may be a whole nother podcast we'll do sometime.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. And I think you just touched on it, but that's where the human touch really does matter. You leverage the technology to help you, but it does ultimately come down to that connection, and they're going to pick it. It brings it all back around. They're going to work with someone they know, like, and trust, and they're going to know, like, and trust somebody with the exact same personality type.
It's so much more natural. I mean, I don't have to change my personality when I'm talking to you because you and I are so similar in our personalities that mm-hmm. We met at the Total Expert Conference, sitting mm-hmm. at the table there. I love hanging with Atlantic Bay people. They're always just brilliant and fun to be around. So I sat and sit down at the table, and you and I just clicked. I mean, I didn't have to do an analysis. Now, let me see what Hannah's personality type is, and let me see how I have to adjust. Now, I mm-hmm. can, and I've learned how to adjust to all the other personalities that were sitting at the table. But you and I, it just clicked. It was so natural, and I think that's why we enjoyed mm-hmm. our conversation, getting to know each other.
Now, let's talk about adjusting, though, because sometimes you are going to get a buyer that you don't mesh. So how do you make a quick assessment and adjust so you don't lose that buyer?
Well, that again, is probably the subject of a whole nother podcast, but I'll give it to you real briefly. If someone answers the phone and they go like, hello, hi, and they're upbeat and hot, I mean, they're just kind of outgoing, you can almost assume that is, fair to assume that that was more of a sanguine personality. That's a personality that is an influencer type in the DISC assessment. That's more of a high I. Mm-hmm. If they answer the phone, hello, what do you need? Hello, can I help you? And if you can go, well, that's pretty direct. Mm-hmm. And now you know you're dealing with a choleric or a high D or a driver type personality. Then if someone answers like, hello, like you're kind of curious, that's a phlegmatic personality because they're wanting facts. Hello, why? You know what? What's the reason for your call? They're inquiring. They're wanting to know that. If you're talking to a melancholic, which you call the social worker of the personalities, they're going, hello. Oh, hi, Anna. So nice to talk to you. It's like, nice, 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 nice. I'm not putting that personality down for anyone. But we don't have a lot of them in the mortgage industry. We have mostly the sanguines, the cholerics, and the phlegmatics. And which is interesting, the cholerics have a tendency to be the top producers almost always.
That's interesting. I mean, that does make sense, though. Well, we'll get on that topic on a different day because you're right. We're not going to have time, but that is such an interesting topic. I do think we could go on and on and on for days. Yeah. But let's go into a little bit around AI because it is such a hot topic. Everybody's talking about it. Fun fact, when ChatGPT went down yesterday, I almost freaked out because I use it so often that I'm like, oh my gosh, can I function?
And my brain work. It's an augmented brilliance that comes into our lives. I mean, I'm using it now for so many things.
Silly things sometimes.
Really fun, yeah.
But anyways, there is a lot of hype around AI. Yeah. So, you know, you work with a lot of different mortgage companies. You're all over the mortgage space. How are different companies actually using AI in the mortgage space today?
First of all, there's incremental AI, and some of that is just we utilize AI, which means they just have ChatGPT open on the side and they're using it. Or there's companies like Selligence, which has a product called Angel AI that literally has automated the entire end-to-end mortgage banking process. I mean, it does everything. I know the owner. I met him when, interesting enough, he's 55 years old. I met him 44 years ago when he was 11 years old. He used to sell loans to his dad, his mortgage company. So this guy I've known, I mean, I didn't know him that whole time, but I met him back then and we reconnected recently. And it's brilliant to see what this does. I can give you lots of examples of this. And there's several that, one that's most notable is a loan officer who is a naysayer about this technology says, no, nothing can do as what I do as well as I can. And finally, she got started getting so much business. And what this, the Angel AI assistant did is she figured it out, tried it. And what happened was that she had basically a loan assistant for every single file. It was technology. Mm-hmm. It was, she could talk to it and say, send out disclosures, do this, anything. And so I have a story. Her name is Jody, and she happens to work for a mortgage company out in San Diego. So it's not a better of yours, but LoanWorks. I encourage people to go to my podcast and go listen to that one. She talks about how it has allowed her to substantially scale her business up and still have her life. She originated a loan one time when she was going to a game in Philadelphia. And she got a phone call, pulled over the side of the load, took some basic information, sent a link to the buyer and said, go ahead and fill this out. If you can't get to it, I'll take care of it later. But the buyer went in, filled it out, sent it. And then by the time she got to the game, it was all done. The buyer was pre-qualified, selected the loan, and they had sent out the disclosure. She says, what would I have to do in the past? So this is a great example. She says, what this is all this technology and others like it that are allowing me to do, Anna, is first of all, have a life, produce more loans. So I think what we're going to see is we're going to find those that do find a way to use artificial intelligence and technology such as Angel AI and drastically improve their lifestyle, their work to life balance, and increase their production.
That's awesome. And real quick, because I want you to plug your podcast. Tell me a little bit about the podcast, and then what episode is that so people can go and listen?
Great question. I'll look up the real question because I was just sending that out to someone last night. So I'll be able to tell you which episode that was. There's so many of these that are out there. So anyway, my podcast has been around for 17 years. We were one of the very, very first in the industry to do a podcast. Myself and Dave Savage literally started our podcasts on the same day and week and same it's just amazing how right on top of each other we were. Thank the world of Dave Savage. He's a great friend, a mortgage coach. Then also I found the need to share. Well, most of the podcasts focus in on the sales side. I focus in on the operations side. And so that's more of ours. We're talking about the markets. Everything that it takes to run a mortgage banking company is more what we focus on. Now, we do have some sales in there, but there's so many podcasts that do that and do that really well. We focus on the operational side. And I think every loan originator should be listening to ours because you're going to gain knowledge. You'll be a better mortgage banker if you listen to what's going on in the broader sense. The podcast, it was the one that we released on May 2nd, 2025. So you go to Lykken, Lykken, onlending.com. That's my podcast. And go to the search May 2nd. It was revolutionizing mortgage lending, how AI is giving loan officers their lives back with Troy Kennedy and Jody Perry of loanworks.ai. That's the title of the podcast. So I'll send you a link to it so you can put it in the notes. It's such a testimony to what is going on and how this will actually empower you to do more and have a more of a life.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, I really do love what AI is doing. You know, we're testing some AI things right now. And I think the one concern that several people have, and we hear it, and, you know, is that it's not personal. It feels like a bot, right? Like it doesn't. You can tell is what we'll say. Have you seen do you have examples, I guess, of where lenders have found that balance between, the speed of AI, but the trust of a person?
Yeah. First of all, AI should never replace the relationship. That should never, never happen. If you're using AI to do that, then it's a problem. You say, well, Dave, you just told a story about how the borrower clicked on a link and went in to do that. That's not to say that we don't utilize it to leverage the technology to help us. But when it comes to what's the most important part we talked about earlier, it's the relationship. Am I making the right decision? Man, great job of filling this out. You did an awesome job. You encourage people with the gift of encouragement and have the ability to reassure, have empathetic reassurance, are going to be so much more successful. And using the AI technology, so much more effective. As far as does it work, I could show a video and maybe we will do another time. We don't have time now, but I have literally recorded, 17 years of podcast. We've dumped it into an artificial intelligence. Now I have the ability, or very shortly, we'll be releasing this, turning on this feature. You can go to my web, Lincoln on Lending website, and query how to do this, how to do that. It will search the entire archives of 17 years and bring forth the information. So it's like a knowledge base. Then what we've done is we've taken over an hour of my video, dumped it into an avatar creator, and I can click on and show you a video right now where I'm talking. I challenge you to see if you recognize the difference between me speaking now and that. Other than I take the avatar, which is not it's really
right.
My image. And the only thing is it talks slower and probably a little more effective. I talk too fast. I get excited when I talk to people like you on this topic. And so my mouth gets going 50 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. So so these are the tools. So think about this. If you create an avatar of yourself, and I'm not talking about a character, I'm talking about really yourself, you could literally be talking to 100 buyers and giving them status updates all the time without getting on a single phone call.
That's really cool.
It's amazing what these tools are going to do.
Stuff like that makes me very excited. And I know we don't have time for you and I to get excited because this will go for 2 hours. But things like that are very exciting. I love to see the way the industry is moving and the way that technology and AI is kind of helping push the mortgage industry along. So that does really get me excited. I mean, looking into, 2026 and beyond, what trends should lenders kind of be preparing for, as we head into 2026, whether that be technology trends or consumer trends or both?
Yeah, I think using technology, as we just were talking about, they got to be doing that and figuring out how to leverage AI to the extent that you feel comfortable to it. I would boldly challenge people, if you do not start using it and using it aggressively, you are talking about how you're using it every single day and how you panic. Mm-hmm. I understand that because once we get used to it, the other thing is consumers are connecting with technology first. And the other thing that's really unique, they're probably inclined to connect with a lender first before reaching out to a realtor. And when you speak to a realtor, that'll be after they've already established a relationship with a lender. So the whole thing is flipped. It used to be they went to realtors first, then a realtor directed them to a loan officer. We're seeing solid evidence that that is shifting and people need to, that's why, as we said, Rocket at the beginning of this podcast, Rocket purchased Renton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for the loan officers listening, I mean, what advice would you give them so that they, I don't want to say future proof, but so they can get ready or they can start preparing? I mean, I think they should have already started, but if they're starting today, how can they get in that consumer first mindset? What should they be doing?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say start with technology, start with AI. And I can't think of a better, there's many good technologies out there, but the one that's end-to-end, and the best part, it's free. The full system is free. I'd recommend you start with Angel AI. It's askangel.ai, or you can learn more about it by going to angelai.com. And so that'd be a place to start learning, experimenting around, and you'll find what many of the top loan producers are across the nation are getting on board. They're adding over 12,000 new users per month. And that gives you an idea of the rate of adoption. Now, a lot of those are realtors. So when a realtor is more equipped and knows more about guidelines because they're using these tools, a loan officer, you're being a decided advantage. So that's what I'm saying, that those 12,000, the vast majority of them are realtors that are using this technology. So don't find yourself being left out. So the best way to get in front of the sales funnel is start using technology, reach out in a bigger way. I'm working on a proprietary project with your boss, Emily, and on how to reach out to loan officers. And we're excited about you guys. I selected you as the beta company, the beta test this. And so really exciting to see where it's going to go and think about the potential has. So
We love beta testing.
Oh, yeah.
We get very excited.
You're on the front row of this one. You're first and center.
This will be awesome. Well, I know you talked about Angel AI. I'm going to be stalking that later today. Are there any, I know you do a lot with operations and things like that. Are there any emerging technologies you think could be really disruptive in the next year or two that maybe are just up and coming?
Well, there's so many that are out there. But here's the problem. Most of them are incremental. They're doing a little sliver of this, a little sliver of that. I just interviewed the guys at Poly, and we'll be releasing that podcast. And some of the flexibility that Adam has built into the Poly capital market system is pretty significant. So I'd have my eyes on Poly as a shout out to them and what they're doing. Also, I would be looking at, and if you're talking to a vendor that operationally, and they say they have AI and you really take the time to look at it, I'm going to say, and you're not getting their warm and fuzzy, that's a problem. Remember, Angel AI is end-to-end. It's also, we have four companies, banks, mortgage bankers, that have dumped their entire tech stack and have gone all in to use not only the Angel AI, the loan officer stuff, but also for operations. There's great companies. I mean, we see Candor out there that has the automated underwriting that has been around for a while. Other companies are coming out to it. True is another one I checked, true.ai. I check out that one. That has to work on the operational side, very solid. There's more and more emerging. But I got to tell you, Hannah, it's really disappointing when you get under the hood and you realize, oh, no, all you did is stick a chat GPT engine inside this thing. And I think if they represent it, that's fine. But if you represent that you've integrated an AI engine into your system and you just, all you did is put ChatGPT in under the hood, that's in my opinion.
Very innovative. Yeah.
So do your homework, find out who's actually doing what they're doing. Say that, do your due diligence is what I'm trying to say.
I love that. That's probably the best advice you could give anybody. Yep. And that's where we're not talking peer relationships now, but I think that's where peer relationships at the C-level, at the leadership level is so important. And that's another place where I'm just really grateful for all of the relationships.
One more thing I thought of is what you guys were just converted over to start. You need a Rhetor, R-E-T.
Mm-hmm. We love Rhetor.
Really well. He and I are in a partnership doing some things together. It is amazing amount of intelligence, and I gave Steve some ideas of what to do and develop. He developed it that fast and put it in great. He hasn't released it yet, but I mean, these are the kind of things, business intelligence, when you're out talking to realtors and have you spent the time to get to know how many sales we've actually done? Do you know how few realtors are doing the vast majority of business? Why are you calling on any realtor that hasn't sold anything in 6 months to 12 months? Why even have that conversation? Go to the ones that are absolutely doing the business and focus there. And then it's how you go to them that is so critical. Going back to the personality thing.
I love that. And I mean, the personality thing, we're going to have you back talk about personalities, because I think that could go so many different ways. And you talked about Rhetor, and I think, that's another piece that we could probably have an entire podcast on, is what you just said, doing your due diligence on your partners. Who are you working with day in, day out? Who's taking the most time out of your day versus pouring into your business? Like, what, really digging into that. And I think if loan officers could really pay attention and really dig into the data and learn where their business is coming from, where they can get better, where they can maybe cut the fat.
And the fat is those that are wasting your time that aren't going to bring you anything. That's dear God, I beg you, everyone, do some business intelligence analysis on who you're working with or who you should be working with. It could revolutionize your whole year.
I love that. First of all, that's a great way to end it. So I'm going to end it, but I can't end it, David, without asking you, how are you going to lend it forward for the rest, or I guess now the second half of the year?
Well, we continue to do the podcast. We just keep it, but it's what we're talking about. What we're doing is trying to help people with their mindset. Their skill set has got to be starting. We've already talked about that. They've got to get in and doing more with AI. We're trying to create greater awareness of that. So we're playing it forward that way. But the number one thing is I'm just encouraging people to use business intelligence tools. So we're still helping our clients start using that and working with that. And that can go so many different directions, Hannah. Whether it's just putting in your notes from meetings and having it be analyzed by ChatGPT, it'll come back and give you so much feedback. So I'm using, the playing it forward is encourage people to use technology more and learn how to relate to people more effectively, which goes back to the personality thing. So we got to start that.
For sure. Well, we talked about your podcast. Where can listeners go find you, David? Where's the best way for them to come find David Licken?
You know what? I have a website that's the Transformational Mortgage Solutions, which is my coaching and consulting business. I have Licken and Lending website. But you know what? Everything is all inside of LinkedIn. You just put in David Licken. Fortunately, there's not too many of us out there. David, LYKKEN. By the way, it's a funny Norwegian name. It means good luck or good fortune in Norwegian, if you want a little.
I did not know that. I love that fun fact.
Little fun fact there. So get some good luck and good fortune. Reach out and connect with me on LinkedIn. I love it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining, David. You're always a pleasure to chat with, and we will definitely be having you back.
Look forward to it, Anna. Thank you so much. You've done an awesome job on this podcast.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Catch us every other Thursday with a brand new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.